afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us in just a few short moments. We will go over the markets, and during our segments today, we're going to talk about the economy, probably a little bit on Irma, and some reports about the collapsing dollar. So stay tuned for that. Gold today was a little pressure on gold, still holding at 1333, but it was down 7. Silver broke back down the 18 level, $17.92, down 0.03. These are the New York's spot aftermarket prices. Platinum was down 4 at 1,007. Palladium was down 19 at 940. So pressure on all the metals. The USDX today also had some pressure, down 0.03, not much, at 92.28. Crude oil up 46 cents at $49.12. But I scared a lot of folks. $46 to the upside on oil. That definitely would have been a scary thought. The Dow today was up 55 points at 21,808. The NASDAQ was up 17 at 63.93. The S&P was up 7 at 2,465. 10-year yield, 2.11%, up 0.04. And a little pressure on the euro, also down 0.04 at 119. European and Asian markets pretty still overnight. Not a lot of, but hey, everyone has such short memories. Fears sort of dissipate fairly quickly. And there's no more talk of North Korea. That just went away.
It's just a temporary blip. They're launching another missile.
But no one
has launched a missile for a couple of days now. They're due.
Yeah, they're.
We should have another one. They missile a week club. That's what the North Koreans have started.
But when we talk about the fear and greed index, right before we get to Wendy, that's getting stronger. It's there's less fear in that fear and greed index as following a trend. So it is kind of amazing that that's gaining strength. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs is joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about some science. They're testing the boundaries again. Oh, yeah. Science is testing the boundaries, especially in the area of some vaccines and some new research about controlling more behavior and thinking. So research universities in the United States are actually conducting a lot of human clinical trials for their new vaccines out on the high seas to escape legal restrictions. European pharmaceutical companies are also packing some new treatments involving hormones to adjust human behavior. So I thought we'd talk about that. You game? Already?
I'm ready. Sounds like one of those movies, though. Isn't that what the mad scientists do? They do their research on a deserted island or a ship at sea or something like that?
I know. It looks, get a mad scientist with a white lab coat. Looks like he put his finger in a light socket and all his hair sticking out. Well, according to reports from Southern Illinois University, in conjunction with a company called Rational Vaccines, it's conducting some ongoing research on an experimental herpes vaccine. And investors have given $7 million toward the development of this new vaccine, with research for it being conducted on the high seas near the Caribbean island of San Kitts. So the research is conducted offshore to avoid the safety protections issued by the FDA regarding human trials. Also, researchers are also avoiding the 1974 laws that Congress enacted in protecting human subjects in clinical trials. But of course, some in research, they don't agree that all those sweeping government regulations actually improve research, because they say under current regulations, the existing polio vaccine would not be given approval today. Well, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's... I guess it is. Yeah, I don't know enough about vaccines.
Guess where they're getting their human subjects for these trials on the high seas?
Houston?
They're already in a boat, so, just ahoy. But they recruit them from social media, like Facebook. And I don't know how you would recruit somebody there saying, hey... you got herpes, we got a new vaccine winner test you want us to inject into you. You want to come out here to San Kitts and we'll see if it works? I don't know.
And it's like a vacation.
Right. Well,
going to the Caribbean.
Well, here is a quote from Dr. Jonathan Zentelman. He's the chief of infectious disease at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center. Regarding this offshore stuff, he says what they're doing is patently unethical. There's a reason why research relies on these protections, because people can die. He says offshore research ignores more than 70 years of safety protocols. Scientists of the 1940s demanded more compliant and rigorous research oversight because of the atrocities of the Nazi human experiments. Uh-huh. End of quote. Well, you know, and Kaiser Health, this is what they're reporting. They say American researchers are increasingly going offshore to developing countries to conduct clinical trials due to the rising domestic costs. However, in order for a drug to be approved for sale in the U.S., it must follow FDA requirements or an international equivalent review. End of quote. So now, you know, we reported previously a few weeks ago, vaccine clinical trials aren't the only thing that research has been doing on the high seas. If anybody missed that report on globsters, they need to hit the archives, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, animal tests, nothing new in the standard practice of experiments on animals and in the vaccine industry. They use animals to test and to make vaccines from. So they know, though, that it's really not important if the disease pathogen in the vaccine is alive or dead. So the disease is not neutralized by the immune system, but it does infect the host it's injected into. Because here's a quote from a vet who understands how vaccines are used to drive up illness rates in humans and pets. This is from Patricia Jordan. She says, quote, "Now it's understood viruses are not dead. They are not alive. They are simply blueprints of protein sequences that when found in the vicinity of a living cell, they are permissive and receptive and can replicate and infect." So that's how that's working, if you wanted to know in simple terms.
That's a little freaky.
Well, let's
talk about it's not alive, it's not dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's almost like some sort of a curse from outer space or something. I mean, that's bizarre.
Well, it's not important whether you're using a live or dead virus, you know, because that's what, you know, medicine tries to calm or annul your fears is, oh, it's not a live virus, it's a dead one. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Well, let's look. This new research reported from the media. German researchers at Bonn Medical Center and the University of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're conducting this research. Get this, on human subjects to combat xenophobia behavior. So, if you don't know what xenophobic is, it's an individual who dislikes or is prejudiced against people from other countries, such as immigrants. So research is being conducted to counteract those feelings in people if
with
they
a virus may... with a vaccine, excuse me.
Well, if you have some sort of aversion to immigrants entering your country, you're going to be treated apparently. So how is this being done? Well, what they're doing is they're producing drugs. Usually, well, what they've been testing is in nasal sprays, and it's this estrogen-like hormone, and it's called oxytocin. And critics have stated that such treatment makes people apathetic towards nationalism. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, you can have better politics through vaccines.
Right.
I mean, and they can put this in what you're talking about. They'll be able to put this into the atmosphere in a city at election time. And then you walk past a bread store, you can smell the bread. You walk past a Republican candidate's office, you'll be able to get a virus a vaccine.
Well, this could have helped Hillary out. You know what I'm saying? She might have won. But recent elections in Europe, where the elections kind of favored the conservative candidate because of their platform was considered xenophobic. This has prompted a lot of this research to counter this, and now it's a treatment. But the treatment has caught the attention of people in the West. Here's a quote from Renee Herlemann, University of Bonn, who said, says, given the right circumstances, oxytocin may help promote the acceptance and integration of migrants into Western cultures. Oxytocin clearly increases generosity towards those in need. And he goes on to say, the results were astounding. Even people with negative attitudes towards immigrants donated up to 74% more to refugees than in a previous round of testing. End of quote. My goodness, you're going to give them the shirt off your back if you have a little sniff of this
I think
stuff?
The IRS has to be elated. They've got to be popping champagne bottles. Or you know, we've got a way of making the people like paying taxes.
Well, the German study, now what they use is they use this estrogen hormone in a nasal spray, and it could be easily added, like you said, to an influenza nasal spray or a vaccine, and patients wouldn't be aware it was there. And scientists have nicknamed this drug the hug hormone or the cuddle chemical. What do you think of that?
It gives me, I mean, really, gives me chills.
I know. Well, the hormone, this oxytocin, in your body, this hormone is secreted from the human pituitary gland, and it's created during sex, childbirth, or lactation, and it influences our emotion, our romantic behavior center of the brain, trust, and empathy area. So the social engineers are seriously considering oxytocin for the masses because it would be useful as a neurobiological strategy for reducing the xenophobic or hostility towards discriminatory attitudes. Now, Renee Hellerman says this again. He says the results imply it will enforce social reform and an adherence to motivate the masses towards generalized acceptance towards ethnic diversity, religious plurality, and cultural differences resulting from migration. End quote. So this is what they're doing. Now, like
what's
you said,
it going to do to the divorce rate? Is one spouse going to get a little too much and start hugging too many immigrants, and the other spouse going to want a divorce?
No, no, but there's little doubt that they're going to put oxytocin, they're going to incorporate it in some treatments, and they'll say it'll be justified as an intervention to normalize behavior. So they anticipate it being a drug that they can include in vaccines to reduce that out-group rejection factor and improve the national social inclusion in all societies nationwide and globally. So it will most definitely be given to refugees, I'm told, to reduce violence and possibly rape and encourage integration. Now, the Bond research team, get this, they said the drug can be added to the water supply.
Mm-hmm, great.
And a country that's unwilling to accept refugees and eliminate and they give it to that country because it would eliminate the burden on just a few countries that are forced to accept refugees, so they spread it around kind of thing. That kind of reminds me of the Germans dumping fluoride into the water system of the Jews, you know.
It reminds me of the Americans dumping water or fluoride into the water system of the Americans. I mean, we're getting our dose of fluoride.
Oh, we are. Yeah. Well, now, this research is in the August 2017 Journal of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, if anybody wants to look it up. And I did have a question about, you know, what are the side effects of using this oxytocin? Because obviously it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to be harvesting people's pituitary glands, but they're going to be making a synthetic form of this hormone. And so the side effects, the research kind of limited on the side effects at this point, but the side effects that they do know regarding oxytocin is it offered an anti-diuretic effect. So this could also stress kidneys in an attempt when they attempt to secrete. And also, oxytocin is a natural hormone, and it's regulated by our bodies, and it's in different amounts in men and women, and it's normally regulated by the body. So taking isolated doses of this stuff can affect kidney function, and since fluids are influenced by oxytocin, if you take a dose of any degree, it could promote a hydration issue and influence metabolic functions. Now, in animal study research, when they gave animals this stuff, they found that it affected pregnancy during they called it water intoxication because it concentrated urine in the kidneys and influenced blood plasma levels. So, because your kidneys filter blood, so it's going to probably cause a renal failure issue, I think.
But at least you'll die hugging an immigrant. You may die from this, but you'll be hugging. You'll die with an immigrant in your arms.
Well, you know, informed consent we know is gone by the wayside, so they're not going to tell you it's there. So I think every living, breathing thing is fair game for experiment in the scientific realm. So we really have to exercise a heightened sense of proving before using, and any treatment that's recommended, always question and investigate it. Now, if medical physicians are kept in the dark, that means they're going to be just merely pitchmen for drug companies. They're not going to be really medical physicians anymore. So we got to keep that in mind. Your doctor may not know. He may be ignorant of what's going on. So do your due diligence. Investigate everything. Because we can actually utilize the medicinal herbs here to support our immune system function and reduce any duration of illness. And most of us haven't been taught this power. Instead, we've been conditioned to believe that we need pharmaceutical drugs to support all metabolic functions. It's just not true. It's just not true. So which would you rather have, Al, Melanie? A body that can heal itself through fortification of nutrients or toxic drugs which reduce symptoms of disease?
I don't want the toxic drugs.
Well, you know, Genesis to Revelation, medicinal herbs are recommended by God for healing the nations. And so, you know, and since, you know, God's smarter than all of man's knowledge, I'm going to go with the herbs. That's what I'm going to do.
I understand.
But typically anybody can tap into it. It's just not rocket science. It's, you know, you learn to brush your teeth and tie your shoes. You can learn to use herbs. It's that simple.
Really. And it's becoming perhaps increasingly necessary. You know, it's the sort of thing where in order to take care of yourself, it's not just an option. Maybe it's becoming more of a requirement to offset and avoid some of the chemicals that the government is eager to subject us to.
Right. I mean, I've been talking to some millennials lately, and because of all these things going on, they're actually quite aware. You'd be amazed. They don't want to have kids because they think it's just too hostile of an environment to bring them into, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
It points to the end of the nation.
Yeah,
if you have a generation or two, I mean, Japan is going through the same thing. Their children don't want to have their young people don't want to have kids. They don't have, they're not reproduced. They're going to close down Japan before this is all over.
Well, it's because you make parents liable for everything, you know?
That's just part of it, but there's something else. I don't know what's happening here, but there's something that caters to young people in a way where I don't know what's happening, but it's certainly disturbing. You're going to have to give us some contact information.
Sure. Absolutely. If you want a free product catalog from Apothecary Herbs, just give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us on the web at thepowerherbs.com, because plant-based healthcare works. See you later.
Thank you, Wendy. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663. Give her a call. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
This morning I do an early morning program on 7490, and we talked about this new survey that came out. And I just want to touch on it briefly because I think this is important, and I think it kind of adds to what Wendy was talking about the younger generation not wanting children. But this is about the white Christians are now a minority of U.S. populations. And this was a survey done by Public Religion Research Institute, or PRRI. It's a polling organization that is based in Washington. And white Christians, once predominant to the country's religious life, now comprise only 43% of the population. Four decades ago, about 8 in 10 Americans were white Christians. And there's some interesting stats in this article, and I might put this in the weekly newsletter that comes out on Monday. About 17% of Americans now identify as white evangelical, compared to 23% just 10 years ago. I mean, these numbers to me are not surprising, but disturbing. Very disturbing. There was the survey also found that more than a third of all Republicans say they are white evangelicals. Nearly three-quarter identify as white Christians. By comparison, white Christians have become a minority in the Democratic Party, shrinking from 47% a decade ago to 29% today. That's 10 years.
I understand.
40% of Democrats say they have no religious affiliation. And there's some really good information in there. And again, make sure you visit our website, sign up for the weekly newsletter, DGScoins.com. I'll make sure it's in there. But it is a very disturbing trend. And it kind of fits into what we see happening all around this country. And
oh,
the violence, the society in decline. And so I think that's a very important, very important.
It reminds me of is one of the founding fathers, and I don't remember which one it was. It might have been Jefferson. It might have been Franklin. I don't remember. Washington, Madison. I don't know who it was. But one of them said when they asked what kind of government do we have, they said it's a Republican form of government, if you can keep it. And they also said that it's only fit for moral people.
Mm-hmm.
This government won't work with people that are immoral. Insofar as we are losing our Christian heritage, we are going to become an increasingly immoral people. And, I mean, we see evidence of this in the Democratic Party, in my opinion. And I'm not holding up the Republicans as some paragons of virtue. They give it lip service. The Democrats don't even give it lip service. Both of them are just both parties are just in it for the money and the power, and I don't know that either one of them wants to do what's right for the American people. But insofar as they don't really have that religious foundation, I don't think you can expect them to be moral people. And I know there are atheists who would disagree, and they'd say they are just as moral as anyone else, even though they're atheists. But I'm skeptical. You know, I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but I am skeptical of that claim. I would say this country loses its religious foundation. It's finished.
The morality issue gets redefined. You know, so in various situations, they do believe that they're just as moral, but they redefine it, just like everything else in this country. Everything gets redefined, and just to fit, you know, the new wave or the new fad or whatever it might be. There's something else that was important about this survey, and the previous surveys had found that the Protestant majority that shaped the nation's history had dropped below 50% sometime around 2008. And it's interesting that was the year, I believe, Barack Obama was elected. Now, I'm not blaming it on him, but it is interesting to see. But we also had the Great Recession at the same time. So, coincidence?
It's all scary. It's absolutely scary. It's frightening. And it's not cause for optimism. It's not cause for, I don't know, apathy. And people are going to sit back and say, oh, you're xenophobic. And I'm going to say, listen, we are being taught to be multicultural. We are being taught to respect everyone else's values. But the truth of the matter is that some systems of values will keep you alive until you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s, and some systems of values are going to cause you to die at a relatively early age. This isn't a game. Multicultural, you can't sit back and say, I'm going to respect that culture because they make their own wooden wheels. If you want to live in a world that's dominated by wooden wheels, you're going to watch your life expectancy fall dramatically. You have to find a culture that if you want to live, if you want to prosper, it is a function of the values that you embrace in your culture. And if you have a culture that's conducive to prosperity and conducive to longevity, all right. Not a guarantee. This is not a guarantee that you'll get rich, not a guarantee that you'll live forever. But the odds are vastly improved in some cultures, and they are diminished in others. And the culture that has worked best for the past several centuries on this planet has been Christendom. Patrick Buchanan, he coined that term. I don't know that he coined it, but he popularized it a few years ago in one of his books. And virtually everything that passes for civilization on the globe right now has been based on Christendom. And now they're saying we don't need that foundation anymore, and we'll get along just fine, and we can celebrate people who want to dance around a fire and beat on drums. It won't work out. There is a requirement. Do you want to hand this nation over to your children? Do you want to have some prosperity? Do you want to have a reasonably lengthy life expectancy? There are obligations. You don't just get that. You got to work at it. You have to respect it. You have to embrace it, and you have to insist, this is what I want. And it's like eating clean food, all right? I don't want dirty food. I want clean food. I want a culture that has values that are conducive to prosperity, productivity, longevity. That's what I want, and I have to want that. And if I'm willing to settle for less, I'm going to have less longevity and less prosperity, at least statistically. There'll be some people who do well in terrible cultures, but they aren't likely to be good people. You want to see this nation do well? They're going to have to regain that Christendom. Right, and the same thing is true for Europe and for Australia. We're in trouble. We're in trouble, and for those of you who read Revelation and you believe in end times and rest that sort of thing, you can't look at some of this information and say, "Gee, this is a surprise." I mean, it really does. These are some of the pieces that seem to fit in the end times puzzle. Mm-hmm. And you can't look at it and say, well, we don't have to worry about end times. Now, maybe we do.
Some of us don't.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I don't know who doesn't
believe,
have
one. Those who believe, who have faith.
Yeah, if their sort of faith is sincere.
Come on, Lord. I'm waiting for you. Yeah. Yes, we have trials and tribulations, of course. But and I think it's going to be interesting to see how the media focuses on President Trump after it seems like he has sided with Democrats in a deal on storm relief and fiscal deadlines. And, you know, he's been hammered by mainstream media by saying, oh, he isn't doing anything to help the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, come together. And so today, I guess he's done that. And now we'll have to see what the conservative side begins to say. But it was about 2:30 this afternoon. Democratic congressional leaders had announced that they had reached a deal with Mr. Trump in the Oval Office, meeting to pass hurricane relief funding this week, along with the measures to push off pressing fiscal deadlines to December.
You mean they're talking about pushing, when they say fiscal deadlines, are they talking about the debt ceiling?
You got it.
And instead of having it in September, and they have to do something by December 29th, they're saying, no, we'll let it go until Christmas time?
December 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And this was over.
And
the
what will happen then?
Let me you know, finish this over the apparent objections of the Republican leaders. So in the meeting, you had the president and the congressional leadership. They agreed to pass aid, an extension of the debt limit, and a continuing resolution, both to December 15th. Both sides have every intention of avoiding default in December and look forward to working together, blah, blah, blah. But there was also some information in there. The agreement includes bundling relief for Hurricane Harvey and with a three-month continuing resolution that would keep the government funded until December 15th.
And how are they going to do this funding, Melody? I'll make you a bet without seeing the act and without reading it. I'll make you a bet this is a special deal where we can borrow money. Government is not going to be, they are going to make an exception to the debt limit, and they're going to borrow money to send to Texas for Harvey. And it'll be a special. They're going to say, oh, this is special. We're not actually violating the debt ceiling limit. This is off on the side. See, this doesn't count. And we're going to borrow money so we can send it to Texas. Which tells us what? They're broke. And they're going to put this off again. We are dealing with this debt ceiling limit right now because they had it, I don't know, 12, 18 months ago. It was supposed to be resolved. And they said, we'll put it off. I think it was prior to the election. And they decided they would put, so maybe it'd be a year and a half, maybe 2 years even right now. But this was supposed to be resolved a year and a half, 2 years ago. They put it off, and now we get there, and now it's supposed to be resolved, and they're going to put it off again until December. And when we get to December, what are the odds that they're going to put it off again, Melody?
But you know what, Al? Not only are they tacking on Harvey, they're going to be tacking on Irma also. Now they've set precedence here.
Yeah, I understand.
And we know there's going to be more than $5, $6 trillion. In fact, this report doesn't say how much of Harvey that they're tacking on. There's yesterday we reported there when they were talking about what, $5.6 billion, something little 7. Like that.
7.9, I recollect. They wanted to get 7.9, but they think they're going to need the Texas Governor Abbott. He thinks it's going to run $150 to $180 billion.
Yeah, but that, we don't know if that's we don't know what the U.S. government's going to pay.
I understand that.
So, but the thing of it is, now we got Irma, and there's a little boy tracking Irma too. So we don't know how much damage these additional hurricanes are going to be. So you can't deny money going to Florida and everywhere else Irma hits when you're giving money to Harvey. But there's something else in this. Trump described the meeting to reporters on Air Force One. We had a very good meeting with Pelosi and Schumer. We agreed to a 3 month extension, blah, 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 the same thing that I just said. However, he also hinted that there could be a deal reached to protect so-called dreamers after his administration announced the end to the deferred action for childhood arrivals. And so now he said they also discussed that today. And Chuck and Nancy would like to see something happen too. And so do I, Trump said. And he said, if we can get something to happen, we're going to sign it, and we're going to make a lot of happy people.
Well, so, that's what we need is more happy people, Melody.
So I mean, Pelosi,
that's what Wendy was talking about. We're going to put the oxytocin or whatever in the drinking water, and we're all just going to sit around and give each other hugs.
And
we won't have to work or anything anymore, Melody. We'll just sit around and hug each other, and it'll be great.
That stuff is already in the water, but both Pelosi and Schumer had said in their statement that they had also made it clear that they strongly believe the DREAM Act must come to the floor and pass as soon as possible, and we will not rest until this gets done. So,
well, you know, I'm a dreamer, Melody. Did you know that? I have a dream that I can National Bank, and I can help myself to all the money that's in the cash drawers. Or go into the vault, take a bag, fill it up, and no one will interfere with me. That's my dream, Melody. And I think the people of Texas and the world should help me live my dream of to be free to be a criminal. And that's what these kids are talking about, the Dreamer Act. We're talking about illegal aliens. I dream that I can commit crimes and get away with it.
Well, not all of them have committed. Well, I get what
I'm
you're
not
saying.
Arguing they're committing crimes, but they are illegal.
They are illegal. And they should be forced to become a citizen or leave. They should have a choice. Become a citizen, go through the proper vetting and everything else, like everyone else does, and become legal or leave. That's your choice. But you know, it was something too when Obama was making his speech and back in 2012 or 2013 or whatever year he did the Dreamers executive order, he went on to say that this is good for the economy, and it was approved by all the CEOs. So again, folks, it was a multinational, it benefits them, corporations, it's all about money. And, you know, these people from that are illegal, the children, they're just pawns.
You know, it's also an illustration of another
point. Irritating.
You have one system of values for your economy. You have another system of values for your nation. When we talk about Christendom providing the values that keep the nation going, that's not the values that keep the economy going. Two different things. These are conflicting concepts. Mm-hmm. They've got the nation over here. Do you want to protect the nation, or do you want to support the economy?
No, well, it shows
people
who's
need
running.
To think that maybe it's not the economy. As Bill Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the nation. Maybe that's what needs to be protected. I'll make you a bet that if we continue to embrace the values that flow from the economy, we will generally wind up in poverty. If you want to have prosperity, you're going to worry about the nation rather than the economy. And you shouldn't confuse the two. They are two different concepts and realities.
I get that, but it really shows you who is running the government and the nation. It's the national corporations, multinational corporations.
All right, we're going to take a break for a couple more commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, folks. I'm Alfred Adams. I'm on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I got a little package here, and it's a typical little package I like to provide to the listeners. It gets you started. And again, you can buy one or 100 of these. We have a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 21-ounce Silver Eagles. These are 2017s, the year for the Silver Eagles, and we have 20 of those. And it includes your shipping costs for $585. And this was priced with the gold at $1,333 and silver at the $1,792 level. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. That's a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 21-ounce American Silver Eagles. And it also includes your shipping costs. Give us a call. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And for the Florida listeners, I'm holding shipping. We've called most of them, but there was a couple we couldn't get a hold of. I'm going to hold shipping with their approval, of course, until we see when this hurricane will get there and so forth. We don't want the packages getting there as she strikes and who knows what happens. So I might be a little being cautious. And so the packages will be here waiting until we see what happens with Irma. And speaking of Irma, I think this disturbs me a little bit. Pentagon is diverts two warships, two U.S. Navy ships, one with hundreds of Marines, are on standby in the Atlantic Ocean to help FEMA in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis approved the use of USS Kearsarge and USS Oakhill, along with the Marine Corps, to support FEMA. It's too early to know where the amphibious assault ship Kearsarge and the landing ship Oakhill would go, but the destination meant the two Virginia-based ships, along with 690 Marines from the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, would not be used to support domestic relief operations in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. So,
well, what they're talking about, they're an amphibious group,
mm-hmm.
which means they have the equipment to deal with on land and in the water. They've got, I don't know what they call them now, but they're amphibious vehicles. They would be helpful, useful for delivering food to people that are trapped someplace, and they're useful for finding people and taking them to shelters. So that's probably what they have planned.
I just never recalled ever having U.S. warships actually attend to...
Well, you don't recall ever seeing a Category 6 hurricane either. Because we've never had one before.
There's never been one.
As soon as you get up to Category 6, then we call in the Marines, Melody. It's kind of like DEFCON, whatever the color is for DEFCON. We go up a certain level and bring in the Marines. That's what we're doing now with Hurricane Irma.
All right, Al, what's next, please?
Oh, I don't know. What do we got, Melody? I thought you wanted has something you wanted to talk about.
Well, no, I wanted to talk about the we did. Okay. If you weren't paying attention, were you?
Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. Well. You know, it's just I think you got a bad connection sometimes in my headset, and I can't hear what's happening exactly. Here's something: Moody's will downgrade the U.S. credit rating if Treasury misses interest payments. This is from The Hill, political publication out of Washington, D.C. The headline alone is interesting to me.
They've already done Moody's, it once.
You mean 6 months or a year ago?
Well, no, when they defaulted and the government shut down the last time. I can't remember if
one
it was Moody's
did.
Or S&P.
One of them did. One of them, Moody's kept it at AAA, and the other, I don't even know the name
S&P.
Of it, was AA+.
Yes.
They downgraded to AA+.
They downgraded it, and that's when gold went from 1600 to 1900 in a very short period of time. And but we know they're not going to – we know they're going to continue with the payments because we now know that they've extended – the debt ceiling until December.
I don't know. They've extended resolving the problem until December.
I get that.
What are they going to do in the meantime?
I get that.
Some special deal. I mean, I assume they are passing a special law to borrow an extra $8 billion to send to Texas for Harvey. I'm making a guess at that. I don't know that that's true. But it appears that in order they're going to do something special. They're going to violate whatever the debt ceiling is. They're not going to get that done right now. They know that's not going to happen. So they're going to pass a special law that says this is an emergency. We got to borrow more money to send to people in Texas. All right. We've got to ignore the law because it's an the debt ceiling law because it's an emergency. I'm only guessing. Don't know that that's true. But that's my speculation on this. All right. Why is it we can't just deal with the debt ceiling? What is so difficult about this? I mean, you really got to ask yourselves, the Congress went out took a vacation in August, and everybody knew they came back, they had to get the debt ceiling resolved in September, had to be done, everybody knows, got it done, it got to happen. Sure, they'll get done, it'll be the last minute, they'll play out the drama, maybe they will. But everybody assumed that they're going to get this thing done in September. And here we are on September 6th, and we are already putting this off until December 15th. We can't deal with the debt ceiling, and I'm not absolutely certain why, but the reason has to be compelling. It has to be important. Why can't we do what needs to be done? And apparently there's some disagreement what needs to be done. Some of them say we've got to have this debt ceiling raised right now, and some of them say, no, we can't have more debt where it's killing us. We're going too deep into debt. And maybe they're both right. You know, I've said this a couple of times on the program. We've got a situation where the debt is so great that it can't be paid. $20 trillion, talking about the national debt. Too big to pay. Can't pay the debt. All right? We can't pay it. Okay, can we cancel the debt? No, we can't. Because the debt is, there is a bond for every $1 million worth of debt in the $20 trillion of national debt. For every $1 million worth of debt that we have there's $1 million worth of bonds. If we cancel the $1 million worth of debt, we have to cancel the correlative $1 million worth of bonds that are being held in people's pension funds and bank vaults and safety deposit boxes as a store of wealth. We got to say, sorry, that paper's worthless now. We can't pay the debt and we can't cancel the debt. And it appears that some kind of a dilemma like that is affecting the debt ceiling limit right now. We've got people say we've got to go deeper into debt, and other people say no, we can't. And they are caught in, you know, this between the rock and the hard place, and no one seems to know what to do. And this has been coming. This isn't a new surprise. This isn't something that's, oh my gosh, it's an emergency. We had no idea this was coming. They've been working on this for a couple of years, or they should have been. They should have been working on it in August rather than taking a vacation. Even it's right here in September, as near as I can see, all you got to do is just sit down, take a vote, and vote to do it. I know that there are people, I'm oversimplifying, and I know that there are people that say we can't go deeper into debt. It's got to, there have to be conditions on this. If we're going to go deeper into debt, there have to be some conditions. And other people are saying, no, there can't be any conditions. We just have to let the government go as deeply into debt as it wants to go. I don't know what's going to happen here, but they should be able to knock this debt ceiling out. I don't care how stupid you are. I don't care how brilliant you are. You've got to be able to see that, look, this has to be done or we're going to have a bunch of trouble. And it appears that they can't get a Congress that recognizes it's got to be done. I'm not even saying it's a good thing. I'm saying we are between the rock and the hard place. This is a difficult situation. I'm not necessarily for increasing the debt ceiling limit, but I recognize that if we don't, the whole thing's going down the toilet. We are caught in a terrible situation, and we've been caught ever since 1971, where we closed the gold window. Nixon closed the gold window and gave us a pure fiat currency. And the legacy of that change is coming back to haunt us right now. We've gone deep, 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 and deeper into debt. And here we have an article from The Hill that says Moody's will downgrade U.S. credit rating if Treasury misses interest payments. If they don't pay the interest on the national debt on, that's due on October 15th and 31st, then Moody's is going to drop the, they'll downgrade the credit rating for the government. All right? They're only talking about paying the interest. This is an issue. We're not talking about paying off. We're not talking about paying off the principal on the $20 trillion national debt. Nobody's even talking about that. That isn't ever going to happen. It's just, can we maintain the illusion? It's like making a minimum payment on your credit card. How much is the minimum you have to do in order to prevent them from shutting your credit card down? You got to pay them $10 or $15. What does that indicate? You're making minimum payments on your credit card. Does that indicate you're wealthy? All right. Does that indicate, or does it indicate you're wealthy if you're paying off the debt? You borrowed $5,000? Fine. You pay off $5,000. When you start making minimum payments on that $5,000, it's evidence that you are under a great deal of financial stress. You are broke. Desperate. And that's where the government is right now. All they're concerned about is, can they pay the interest? Do you have enough money to make a minimum payment on the $20 trillion national debt? And Moody's, based on the article from The Hill, it appears that Moody's is concerned that the government does not have enough money to make even the minimum payment on its credit card, all right, in this analogy. Just service the debt. Pay the interest. Don't pay the principal. We're not asking for the principal. Just the interest on the debt. Can you do that? At a time when interest rates are at record low levels. And we are still apparently caught in some kind of situation where government can't pay that debt. That cannot be encouraging. You can't look at that and sit back and say, well, everything's under control. You know, the government's got everything. It's all under control. No, it's not. I'm looking at this. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't give you prophecy and the rest of that sort of thing, but I'm looking at this, and as we've said in the last day or two on this program, we are in big trouble, and it looks to me like we have hit the inflection point, and when we look back first week of September, they're going to look at the graphs and say, that's when the stuff hit the fan. It didn't destroy things, but we'll see an inflection point, I'm guessing, in the first week or thereabouts of September. In retrospect, we'll get to December, we'll look back and say, yeah, that's when it started, you know, and then it just accelerated. But we are in trouble, and more trouble right now. And it's not just because of these hurricanes that are coming in, although they're hitting at the same time. When it rains, it pours, Melody.
Yes, it does. It's raining here in Pennsylvania.
The point in all of this, you know, if you agree with any of this, if anyone is listening and you think maybe I'm making some sense on this, and it's reasonable to say, look, there's a problem here. Moody implicitly doesn't think the government can even make the interest payments on the national debt. Now, they go down and they what do they say here? They've got a couple of comments. They're taking extraordinary measures to prevent the U.S. from defaulting on the nearly $20 trillion debt. A U.S. default on even a portion of that debt would raise questions about the safety of American bonds, upending the international financial system. That's what's good. They're right. If they can't even pay the interest, the whole thing is vulnerable right now, which tells us what? It's probably a good time to get your wealth and protect it as best you can. Don't know what's going to happen, but it certainly does appear that we are vulnerable to some sort of shocks that are going to be devastating for a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you, you know what I'm going to say. You're going to do well, in my opinion, if you convert some of your paper wealth into gold and or silver. Get something real that you can rely on, because the rest of this stuff is going to be gone with the wind before this is all over. Bitcoin, there's another one. There's a fantasy. There's a dream. That's going to explode in everybody's face, and probably in the next month. I mean, it's already had a significant reset and decline. But that's there's just more madness. I mean, oh my God, we're running out of Christians. We got more crazies. The economy is nuts. Government is broke. I mean, this is the time to get your life preserver, folks. This is the time you are on you appear to be on the Titanic right now. Now is a good time to get your life preserver. Get close to the lifeboats. You may need one very soon. And we're out of time.
You know what, Al? You said, madness, and it truly is. And I mean, just look at all these various situations. I mean, look what's happening with, since the Charlottesville. You have all of these cities and these states that are pulling down these monuments. Dallas is spending $1.5 million. It's insane.
Somebody's trying to take down a statue of Abe Lincoln, for God's sake.
But it's all part of
it end?
Yes, but it's all part of the symptoms that we're experiencing. It's just madness that's going on everywhere.
We're out of time, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a well-being